Betty Rabenbach is going to come and sing for us this morning.
Before the world began, God loved me then. He chose me for his own and heir a throne. His rich eternal love wrote my name above. Thank God he included me. Yes, he included me from eternity. No room to boast have I, the lost said die. But God in wondrous grace came and took my place. Thank God he included me. Christ paid my debt one day, the only way. He died upon the tree to set me free. In pure and sovereign grace, Jesus took my place. Thank God he included me. In time the Spirit sought, and grace was wrought. He took the word of God, the mighty rod. He broke my stony heart and did grace impart. Thank God he included me. Yes, he included me from eternity. No room to boast have I, the lost said die. But God in wondrous grace came and took my place. Thank God he included me. But God in wondrous grace came and took my place. Thanks be to God, he included me.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 8. That was a wonderful song. John chapter 8. And I'll begin reading in verse 33. They, that is these Jews, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith to them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Words, ye therefore hear him not, because you are not of God. The title of my message this morning is, Whose Child Are You? Whose Child Are You? As we've just read, these Jews claim to be Abraham's seed. And by that, they meant that they were the true children of God. They could trace their lineage back to Abraham. But Christ said that they were the children of the devil. And they were like many today who claim to be the children of God. We know by this text that all humanity is divided into these two households. That is, the children of God and the children of the devil. We know that by what Christ has just said. If you look at verse 44 again, he tells these religious Jews. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That is the father of the lie. The lie concerning God. And it's clear from what our Lord says on this occasion that the children of God and the children of the devil, they both are known, or they both are manifested for who they are by the same thing. The same thing divides them. The same thing distinguishes them. And it's none of these externals that they depended upon. It's none of these externals that they claim, such as their lineage to Abraham, such as the Jewish religion, such as the sacrifices and offerings and the priests and all these things. All these external things do not distinguish the true Israel. Paul says to us in Romans, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, that is a true Jew, a true child of God, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And everywhere at all times, it was just exactly as it was on this occasion among mankind. Because the thing that exposed the children of the devil is set forth very clearly here. Look back again in verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, that is, physically, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. It was Christ's word that made manifest the children of the devil, their resistance and refusal to it. Look again in verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. He speaks what he has seen from the Father, and they do that which is natural with their father. Look again in verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man, the only man, by the way, who that hath told you the truth. I told you the truth, and it was manifested by you that you'd have none of the truth. Therefore, you are a child of the devil. I've told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham, your earthly forefather, did not hear of the truth directly as Christ the truth did. And then he says in verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And then in verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of all lies, but especially the father of the lie against God himself. The father of the lie against the Christ of God. The father of the lie of salvation. And how men are saved only in Christ. And then notice his words in verse 46. Which of you convinces me of sin? That is, sin regarding first of all and most of all that which I have said. Not only that which I have done. You surely can't convince me or charge me with sin for that. But who can charge me among you as to my speaking something that is untrue? And then he follows. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? If I speak true words, if I have told you the truth, if I have spoken to you the truth concerning God and what he has said, why do you not believe me? And then he sums it all up in my mind in that 47th verse, which really says it all. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. What a profound two statements. He that is of God. And what he's saying here is he that is a child of God. He that has God as his father. And that's what we find all throughout the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, concerning all these things in reference to the children of God. They are all of God. We read in one place that they are all loved of God. We read in another place that they are all known of God. We read in another place that they are all chosen of God. In another place, they are all redeemed of God. In another place, they're all called of God. In another, they'll be all taught of God. In another place, they're all born of God. In other words, everywhere we look in the Scriptures, those that are the children of God, the true children of God, every single one of them have something concerning them that is of God. Of God. And here it is in John 8 and 47. They are distinguished by this that we find Christ speaking. He that is of God, loved of God, chosen of God, redeemed by God, taught of God, born of God, he that is of God, a child of God, heareth God's word. That is, here's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that I would say concerning this is that they first of all hear it. It is amazing in our day with so many who profess Christianity, so many who go to church, so many who are involved in religion, multitudes of people, just like in Christ's day. And yet they have never in their ears even heard the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Look over in what Paul writes to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1. You see, many claim to be the children of God. They claim to be saved, but yet they have never, ever even heard with their ears the gospel. Look at what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, speaking of Christ. He says, in whom ye also trusted. These he's writing to believers here. He says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. And yet many have heard sermons, they've heard inspirational talks, they've heard encouraging words, and they've heard this and that and the other, but they have never heard the true gospel. In whom ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. It's not the gospel of how to be saved. It's not the gospel of how to do this or that or the other. It's not the gospel of how to do in order to be assured of your salvation.
It's the gospel of your salvation. It's the gospel, the good news that God has saved you. Not what you must do to be saved. Not what you must experience or feel to be saved. Believing is believing the truth, which is to believe the gospel of your salvation. That God has saved you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God has brought you unto Himself in Jesus Christ. Look over, he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God bore a witness in your heart that you are, as John said, the children of God based on something that Christ did. Something that He has already done. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Look at Romans chapter 10. We hear Romans chapter 10 read from and quoted many times. And one of the verses that they always use to teach universalism is this. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We hear that all the time. But that's not the context of this verse. That's not what Paul says after that. He says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Every day almost of my life, every place that I go, last week in Tennessee, wherever it is, you hear people talking about somebody named Jesus, and it is obvious that they do not know and have not heard of Him by what they say. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? It is that Christ has already made peace for His people by the blood of His cross. It's not the gospel of how you can make peace with God. It's the gospel of a peace made by the blood of Christ. And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Who? The children of the devil. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Spirit of God gives faith to God's people through their hearing of the truth. The gospel of peace. They have not heard.
the truth, the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard about somebody named Jesus, but they don't want to hear about this eternal salvation. They want to hear the doctrine of His particular and perfect redemption. They don't want to hear the doctrines of His sovereign, unconditional election. They don't want to hear this doctrine of His divine predestination. They don't want to hear about His perfect justification. They want to hear nothing. But this hearing that He speaks of here, this hearing is more than just a hearing of the ear. You know, the Scripture says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Well, you know and I know that every one of us, unless we were born defective or had an accident, every one of us have natural ears. So He's talking about something like that. Different than that, He's talking about this hearing of faith. He that hath an ear, if God has given him faith to hear, if he's one of God's children, he'll hear, and he'll hear with understanding. That's what this hearing is. It's a hearing of understanding. With understanding, it's a hearing of submission to what is said. It's a hearing with a delight for what is said and taught and preached. These words. There is so much in our day of people depending on and looking to all kinds of experiences. They go to church to feel better. They go to church to be with people there. They go to church for their children. They go to church for this and for that. But God's people go for the words. Over in John 6, when Christ had performed the miracle and filled the bellies of so many multitudes of people. But when their bellies were full and the food stopped, and He began to teach them and He began to set forth to them the truth, they began to drift away. And Christ looked at those disciples and He said, "Will you also go away? Are you going to leave truth?" They said, "Lord, where could we go? To whom could we go? You have the words of eternal life. I don't have anything to offer you but the words. I'm not a charismatic speaker. I'm not a flamboyant personality. I just have these words. These words, not of myself, but are of God. Such words as these: He that is of God hears God's words." It's a hearing for the obedience of faith. You remember we read here in Romans 10, they have not all obeyed the gospel. The gospel doesn't come
to God's people as just something like you would go to a buffet and pick and choose what you want. They're the necessary words of our souls. When we gather together, I love to have fellowship. When we gather together, I love to see and be with everybody. When we gather together, I love to hear the psalms and sing hymns to God. But if I had to, and many of God's people have over the years, I could do without them all. But I must have the words. The words. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. He's of God. He's not of himself. We can't attribute anything good to ourselves. We can't attribute any of our salvation to ourselves. We can't. Everything we have is of God. Where did we learn that? In the words. We heard that in the words. And God enables us to believe it. We don't. You might be encouraged one day by your uprightness or your praying or your reading the Bible or something like that. But I'll guarantee you tomorrow you'll do something. You'll say something. You'll feel something. And all of yesterday's false assurance will go out the door. And the only thing you'll have left is God's words. God saying, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God's promises, not your faithfulness, not your maturity, not your works. They'll all just simply, in the light of God's holiness, be seen for what they are. Nothing but sin. And the only thread you'll have, the only hope, the only thing that'll bind you to God is His words. His words. He that is of God heareth God's word. Turn over to John chapter 10. I'll give you an example. Who do most people in this world say that Christ died for? They say, well, he died for everybody. And the difference will be in whether you're lost or saved, something that you choose or despise or your will. John chapter 10 and verse 11. This is Christ himself. This is his words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's not simply my theological position or my opinion. That's God's words. Look down in verse 15. As the Father kneweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Two times, same chapter, same conversation to these. I give, I lay down my life for the sheep.
Look at verse 26.
But you believe not. You don't believe my words. You don't believe my truth. But ye believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you.
You'll never believe. They're not up for your believing. They're not up for your deciding. They're still true, whether you believe them or not.
My sheep hear my voice.
Hear my voice. That's what the shepherd has said. They won't hear the voice of a stranger.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
What happened next? The Jews took up stones to stone him. He that is of God heareth God's word. His sheep hear his voice. His people, his children, believe his word.
Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Second question, who does God love? Almost everywhere, in every pulpit, they're going to figure out some way to say God loves everybody. What are God's words concerning? Well, look here in Romans 9, and verse 13, when he's just given an illustration of his sovereign grace, grace to one and not the other, grace that is based on election and not production, works. God said of these two men, born of the same woman at the same time, in the same environment, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Again, that's just God's words. That's just God demonstrating his right to be God. That's just God. There's every reason for God to hate Esau and every sinner in Adam. There's reason for a holy God to hate us as sinners. What we need to learn is how that he could love Jacob. But he said, I hate all workers of iniquity. Hate them all. Who doesn't work iniquity? Those that are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Who does God love? He loves a bunch of Jacobs, connivers. Or he couldn't love me. And the only way he can love me is to love me in Christ. Look over to Titus. The book of Titus. Titus chapter 3.
Titus 3 and verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done at any point, at any time, has it ever in one degree added to our salvation, which is altogether in Christ. But according to His mercy. You know why it can't be by works of righteousness? Because we have no works of righteousness. And the only work of righteousness the Bible speaks of is the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. What is the motivation for God's people to walk in the things of Christ? Well, we'll get up this Sunday and we'll preach a message on the home, and next Sunday we'll have one on the relationship of husbands and wives, and the next one we'll have on guiding your children, and the next one we'll have on community responsibility, and the next one on moral right and take the law and do all these things. Is that what it said? It said we are saved in Christ not by works of righteousness, but according to His mercy. We're saved by that, and constantly reaffirm it. Because the love of Christ Jesus to us in salvation is what motivates the true people of God. The children of the devil, they love a weekly whipping, a weekly moral lesson, a weekly condemning them and everything else. But the truth is, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None. There's nothing to fear from the one who in His perfect love has cast out fear. Christ is our Sabbath. We come to Him and we rest. Rest. And anything else is just torment. It's just a struggling with the flesh which cannot ever be improved. When will we learn that? In the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. It's like we're comparing a rattlesnakes with a giant anaconda. They're both snakes. Whether we are outwardly wicked and immoral, or whether we are
in the sight of men moral and upright. Both snakes, sinners.
And I'm assuring you of this. If the Apostle Paul, if this man who was blessed of God and saved by God out of a false religion, this man that was taught of God so much and used of God to teach his people, if he had to say in his life, even as an apostle, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We have no confidence in the flesh. But the words that kind of sum it all up. He that is of God heareth God's word. Maybe the most important words that we could ever hear and that few ever really hear is the words he spoke when he hung on that cross and died the death for sin. It is finished. I've often used that example of a famous portrait painter. He paints the portrait of someone. He does such a splendid job. His work is flawless. His colors are wonderful and so living, and he shows that to the person who doesn't know a thing about painting. And that person takes a paintbrush and dabs it in the paint and says, but it just needs a little. You couldn't offer the artist a higher insult. The Lord Jesus Christ in that hour said, it is finished. He said, I finished the work that you gave me to do. What work? To save my people. And words like this that God speaks through the apostle, for by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what is actually being said here in this context is, he that is a child of God hears God's words. And from the time God gives them ears till the time that they stand in his presence, and that's what that tense in the Greek signifies. He that heareth is hearing, always hearing. Oh, sometimes his ears get awful stopped up. Sometimes they get distracted and filled with unimportant things or even false doctrines. But you might say God cleans his ears out. And he hears. Hears God's word. It is finished. Accomplished. Done. One day the Lord Jesus Christ stood before Pilate. And Pilate asked him a question. He said, are you a king? Jesus answered saying, answered, thou sayest, I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I'm not trying to get anybody to believe me or follow me or
anything to believe me just because I said it. I just want to set forth the words, the gospel. And he that is a child of God will hear God's words. John wrote in 1 John 4, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Whose child are you? If you hear the truth, hear it with God-given understanding. Hear it for face value from the one who spoke it. Hear the words. That's all the words. Heed it. Believe it. You're one of his sheep. Oh, it'll be something to face with this world, with family, with friends, co-workers. But here's just the way it is. I cannot disbelieve it. I've often tried. I don't want to believe that. I can't help but believe it. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your words, precious words, gospel words, doctrines, truths. And we thank you especially for that one word which was translated into three words in John. It is finished. To you be all glory and honor, praise forever and ever. Amen.